All the passages dictated on this side of the tape are at 90 words a minute. There are 10 passages, each of 2 minutes duration. Passages 1 and 2 are entitled Breakfast Club to Lose Lottery Funding. There will be an interval of 30 seconds between the two passages. Passage 1. Ready? There can be no doubt that the scheme we have all come to know as the Breakfast Club has been a great success. It has made it possible for local people to go to work in the knowledge that their children are being well looked after before school starts. It has been particularly good for lone mothers and has enabled at least 10 to get off Social Security and find jobs. The club opens at 7 o'clock and looks after children for up to 2 hours. They get help with homework or can play games, and they can have their breakfast there. They are then taken to one of the 2 local primary schools. Numbers using the scheme have built up since it started 2 years ago, and there are now 26 regular boys and girls. On some days, there are more than 30. The club charges £2 a day, or £3 if breakfast is provided. But there is help for families who are not well off. It is making a real contribution to the local community. Passage 2. Ready? We do not know if the Breakfast Club will be able to continue after next year. It was started with the help of a national lottery grant, but that runs out after 3 years. This is one of the big problems with lottery grants. Although the lottery has done a lot to get good schemes off the ground, it does not give them long-term support. Schemes are expected to find other forms of funding within 3 years. This is easier said than done. The Breakfast Club is not likely to get a commercial sponsor, and it cannot ask the families who use it to pay the full cost. Most of the families are on low incomes. The only hope is that the club can get a grant from somewhere else. The local council says it would like to help, but cannot do so at a time when it is making cuts in education and social services. That leaves the idea of trying to get help from a charity. There are quite a few to approach, but time is short. Passages 3 and 4 are entitled Move for Tighter Inspection of Taxes. There will be an interval of 30 seconds between the two passages. Passage 3. Ready? As you know, the Road Safety Committee set up a special working group after the crash in which two young men died. The taxi in which they were travelling left the road and hit a tree. When the police carried out a full inspection of the taxi, they found that it was not roadworthy. Not only was the underside full of rust, but when they took a closer look, they discovered that it was not one car, but the front of one had been welded to the rear of another. It is what people in the motor trade refer to as a cut and shut. I know there was a great deal of publicity at the time of the accident, and many people said it was a scandal that a car in that condition should be on the road at all, let alone being used as a taxi. A number of our taxis look badly maintained, and this made us take a closer look at the way in which we monitor the vehicles which we license for use as taxis. Passage 4. Ready? First of all, we have decided to carry out thorough checks of all the vehicles which are being used as taxis in the borough. The scheme will start at once, but it will take some time to check them all. Once we are satisfied that all our taxis are fit to be on the roads, we will act to enforce our new inspection rules. This means that each taxi will have a less thorough check every 2 months, and we will also have spot checks which can take place at any time. I realise this will be far from popular with drivers, but we will not allow another person to die because they have placed their trust in an unroadworthy taxi. We are holding a meeting with drivers next week when we hope to be able to convince them that this is not a knee-jerk reaction to one single accident, but something which will be of benefit in the long run. As our roads become more and more congested, it is vital that vehicles are fit to use them. Passages 5 and 6 are entitled National Campaign to Crack Down on Truancy. There will be an interval of 30 seconds between the two passages. Passage 5. Ready? Ladies and gentlemen, as head of the school, I have called this meeting tonight so that I can tell you about the problems we are having. The very fact that you have taken the time to attend shows me that you are caring parents. To your knowledge, your child may have never played truant. I assure you that this can happen without your knowledge. Your child probably leaves home at the same time each morning and returns home at the same time at the end of each afternoon. You therefore assume that he or she has attended school, but this is not always the case. If a child has been missing from school for more than a week, and a telephone call or a sick note from a parent has not been received, it is school policy to get in touch with parents to find out the reason for the absence. When a pupil has been missing for the odd day and a reasonable explanation is given by the child, it is usually accepted by the member of staff concerned. Passage 6. Ready? In future, we are asking you to write a note to your child's form teacher every time your son or daughter has a day away from school. You will probably have read in the local paper that there is to be a national campaign to try to improve attendance at school. The truancy problem is affecting schools all over the country. There will be extra cash to fund city-wide truancy sweeps. One of these was held at the end of the summer term when over 200 pupils were stopped and questioned by welfare officers and police. It was found that 56% of them should have been in class. Some had good reasons to be off school, such as hospital or dental appointments. Nearly half of them were with their parents, some of whom saw nothing wrong with their child taking the odd day off. I am sure this does not apply to any of you here tonight, but parents must get the message that they should not be taking their children out during school time. Passages 7 and 8 are entitled Historic Fair is Banned. There will be an interval of 30 seconds between the two passages. Passage 7. Ready? We have had a Christmas fair in this town for much longer than a century. It was in 1873 that the first event was held. Now the district council has stuck two fingers up to history and decided to ban the fair this year. This is an extraordinary state of affairs. The council says it has taken the step because of concerns about safety and problems of access to the fair site. But these are not the real reasons, of course. The truth is that the area around the site has become too posh for something like a fair. The rich people who have moved into the local streets do not want a fair on their doorsteps and have got their friends on the council to ban it. Never mind 130 years of tradition. Never mind the pleasure given to thousands of children and adults. The people who have taken over the area and changed it so much have pulled the strings and the council has jumped. So much for pride in our local history. Passage 8. Ready? Let me deal with the reasons given by the council for banning the Christmas fair. What about safety? As far as I understand it, this is about children crossing Church Street to get to the fair site. This is a worry, but there have been no accidents in recent years, and it would be very simple to put a crossing in place for the week of the fair. What about problems of access? This is about lorries getting to and from the site with fair equipment. I agree that access is not easy, but it is surely an issue for the people who run the fair, and they are not complaining. I think that the truth is that the new local residents do not like having a few lorries coming down their roads. The fair has raised more than £25,000 for local charities in 10 years. It is popular and well run. When there were complaints that people going to the fair were climbing on the war memorial, the organisers spent £300 on a fence. Passages 9 and 10 are entitled, Is It Fair to Report Court Cases? There will be an interval of 30 seconds between the two passages. Passage 9. Ready? Our local papers used to cover all the courts in this area. Reporters went to court once or twice a week, or however often it sat. Even very minor offences, such as speeding, found their way into the paper. Often they were put in as part of a long list of cases. Editors insisted that kind of coverage was vital if they were to be fair. But times have changed. It is no longer possible to cover all the courts. We now have fewer reporters, but there are far more people coming before the courts. Editors need their reporters in the office, not sitting in a courtroom all day. 40 years ago, a court was held every Thursday morning in this town. Now there are 4 courts sitting 5 days a week. We cannot cover even a few of them. It is largely luck, or rather bad luck, if a person's case is reported. Papers are now more keen to get a good story than to be fair. Sex cases will always be covered, no matter who is involved. Passage 10. Ready? News desks tend to judge court cases just on their story value. Public figures will have their cases splashed all over the daily papers, even if their offence is very minor. An unknown person charged with the same offence may not even get a mention in the local paper. It used to be claimed that for justice to be done, it must be seen to be done. We should be worried if cases are tried behind closed doors. Yet we are failing to cover open courts. For many people, it is more painful to see their offence in print than it is to pay a fine. People used to beg reporters not to print their case. Often, business people would threaten to stop advertising if their case was printed. The editor would say that it was the paper's policy to report all cases. There could be no exceptions. It was easier then to justify using the story, as it would be unfair not to. But what moral case is there now for printing court cases just on news value alone? That is the end of the dictation on side 2 of the tape.